You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It's 6:06 right now. You are listening to Daybreak on the Civic Media Network. There we go. I got the words
right.
out.
It's all new, Jamie. It's a whole new start to the morning. Good morning, everybody.
I was concentrating so hard on the new name of the show after all of the changes over the weekend. I forgot where we broadcast on. It's all right. We're off to a rousing start.
I hear
start.
It rolls off the tongue. That's what... good morning, everybody. She is Jamie Martinson. I'm Brian Noonan. And up until Friday, this was Civic Media Mornings. Mm-hmm. And since January, this was a temporary show.
It was.
They told us, even though we didn't approach it that way. We were like, all right, once you put us in the chair, we're not leaving, really, until you
this is
get
ours.
A hook and get us out. It's ours. But Jamie, as things happen, change comes to everybody. And change has come to Civic Media. So I will let you, as one of the suits, I will let you you explain.
So this has been an ongoing project since probably mid-January. And as you know, if you've been listening to the Civic Media Network, we've undergone some changes. But today is the day when we launch everything anew. So we are very, very excited. You'll be listening to Daybreak throughout the Civic Media Network until 9 a.m. Unless you are listening on WMDX, then you will go to Stephanie Miller at 8 a.m. We are going to then be joined by Tom Hartman from 11 until 2 on the network. And then we have a brand new show that will be debuting this afternoon. It is called The Jeff Santos Show. That will be from 2 to 5. And then we will end our broadcast, our talk broadcast with Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach from 5 to 7 p.m. So you can catch them. That will be a little mix of entertainment, some politics, everything we're saying from Washington to Wisconsin. So it should be a very fun 2 hours with them. And they're going to actually join us later this morning as well. But that will be the new talk lineup here on Civic Media. Right. So we're not really changing anything we've been doing. We're going to add a few things because now we've been told we can.
We got an extra hour.
Right.
We got an extra hour. So.
Lots of good stuff. Lots of good stuff.
All the things that we would say at the end of the old show. Go, oh, man, I wish we had some more time. Talk to us on Wednesday when we go, oh, there's extra hours. Killed us. And I know if you work a real job, you're thinking, oh, wow, they have to work a whole 3 hours. I understand. You're absolutely
right. You're right.
This is not, we're not breaking rocks here. So, but we're glad you're here. Spread the word. Tell your friends about the show if you've been enjoying it. If you hate somebody, tell them about the show, too, and it'll drive them crazy. We don't care. You can
as
like
long as
us.
You're listening.
As long as you're here, we're happy. Because maybe we'll turn your enemies into listeners. Who knows?
You never know.
But, the focus of the show will still be the same. Mm-hmm. A lot of politics, a lot of Wisconsin news, and some fun thrown in just to keep things interesting and keep us sane because all need a little of that.
You do. And by the end of the day, I'll know that the show is called Daybreak with Brian and Jamie, and we're on the Civic Media Network. So watch for that progress. Roll on here this morning.
Listen,
it's Monday.
To be honest, they're not gonna. Nobody. You know, it's nice for marketing. It's great for sales. People who listen just go, oh, yeah, we listen in the morning.
Yeah.
Who do you listen to? I don't know. There's a guy and some woman who does a lot of research. And sometimes there's a producer that jumps on and they're funny.
Like me.
And, yes. Thank you, Parker.
Yeah. Well, no, I was talking about Frank. and then sometimes there's just voices. We don't know, but there's a lot going on.
There is.
And they give us the facts. And that's so the focus of the show isn't going to change.
No.
The facts are going to lead. There will be opinion because, well, we're human and we have opinions.
Yep.
But all those opinions are going to be based, hopefully, in facts. And we will strive to give you the facts of the story and let you kind of parse it out for yourself.
Yes, absolutely.
With our little help from us. If it helps. We'll try. If it doesn't help, disregard.
And we'll have some good discussions. And we want you to call in, yes, and we want you to text in. That number is 1-855-752-4842. 1-855-75-CIVIC. Now, should we jump in? Because it was a big weekend of news.
Yeah, let's get to enough self-serving stuff. The big news came Friday, right as we were,
yes,
ending the show on Friday.
This is why we need that extra hour.
Yes, we need the extra hour because we would have been able to handle it then. If you've been, I don't know where you could have been, maybe Iran getting ready for a military strike, but that's in the next hour too. But the Supreme Court struck down President Trump's far-reaching global tariffs in a 6-3 decision. That means three conservative judges went to the other side and actually supported the Constitution, which is nuts. So this was a horrible loss for the president on his economic policy and his big agenda. And boy, he didn't take it well, Jamie.
No, he did not. Now, the justices said that the Constitution clearly gives Congress, not the president, the power to set taxes and tariffs. It's pesky, pesky Constitution again. Chief Justice John Roberts wrote that the founders did not give any part of that taxing power to the executive branch. And I thought Justice Neil Gorsuch's writing for the majority was really interesting, because he emphasized that while legislating can be slow and frustrating, that process ensures laws reflect the combined wisdom of the people's elected representatives, not just one person, interestingly enough. He called it a bulwark of liberty, even when the outcome disappoints. Now, Trump, as we all know, had imposed these tariffs under a 1977 emergency powers law and argued that it allowed him to regulate imports during a national emergency. The courts ruled that the law does not clearly authorize broad global tariffs and that the major economic decisions like that must come from Congress. And
he doesn't like that. The president doesn't like that.
No.
And he has said over the weekend, we'll hear some of what the president said at his press conference Friday, which quite frankly left me shocked.
Yes.
I couldn't believe I was hearing a president of the United States speak about his Supreme Court that way and basically thumbing his nose at the Congress
and his handpicked,
saying, I can do
his handpicked justices too.
Right. He couldn't believe that they chose the Constitution over him. And wow, it was amazing.
Yeah, this is cut one. All right. So the president
First of all, good for him for knowing all the trade acts.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
So that was obviously him talking about how he's going to implement these tariffs, because by Friday afternoon, he announced a new global tariff, first 10%, then raising it to 15% over the weekend in some Truth Social post. This time, he's using Section 122 of the 1974 Trade Act, which allows a temporary tariff of up to 15% for 150 days to address serious trade imbalances. After that, Congress had have to act to extend it. But this is where he criticizes the courts. This is cut two, please.
No,
no,
no. See,
no.
they are being 100. We didn't play the part, and I don't think it's. I don't think it's in the next clip where he said they were under the influence of foreign powers.
Yeah.
Where I was at that point, I was like, okay, he is so far off the reservation. There's no bringing him back. And to say that you're disloyal to the Constitution because you actually interpret it. And this is what has bothered me about the Supreme Court, not just this court, but for a while. It's not supposed to be partisan.
Right.
Their job is what they actually did on Friday. They did what they were supposed to do. And there's always a dissenting opinion is okay.
Yeah.
But they looked at the law, just the law, and made the decision based on the Constitution. And you know, the president can argue all different ways, but anybody who studies the law, any legal scholar is like, they were right. It's written down. Yes, they interpret the law based on what the case before them is, but this was the right thing to do. And for
yes.
the president who handpicked these people, he handpicked them thinking that they would be his lapdogs,
mm-hmm.
to use his terminology.
Yeah. No,
the
whole thing was jarring. And there's another piece of audio I want to play, because this is the one that I found the most revealing about what the president thinks his task is. This is cut number three, please. That's saying the quiet part out loud, right? Because mm-hmm. it basically lays bare what this administration believes tariffs are really all about. And this isn't just about balancing trade numbers. It's not just about negotiating leverage. This is a worldview from this particular administration.
Yes.
And this goes back to what we've talked about multiple times and was talked about during the election process. This is isolationism. Right? This is isolationism.
Yes.
When you're trying to destroy other countries. And history tells us that isolationism will always come with consequences, whether that's economically or whether that's politically. And we can debate the trade deficits. We can sit here and debate manufacturing policy. Those are all very fair conversations to have. But when the underlying message is we're pulling back from the world, that is really dangerous territory for a country whose economy is deeply tied to the global markets. And let's be clear, there's going to be financial ramifications from all of this. The stakes for what's happened are huge, simply because there's $175 billion in refunds that the United States could now owe because of these tariffs.
Well, let's get to that after the break. We want to talk about that because somebody's owed some money.
Yeah.
If this is the case, is it you? Is it businesses? We're going to talk about that. We want to hear from you, your thoughts on this weekend's event. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. That's how you get a hold of us. Jamie, let's hear the new name of the show.
This is Daybreak 619 on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Civic Media Network. You are listening to Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson. I am Jamie Martinson.
That would make me Brian Noonan. Good morning. We'd love to hear from you.
At least we know who we are today.
Well done, Brian.
Thank you. Listen, Don't let it be said that I'm not on top of things. I have my thumb on the pulse of this program. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We were talking about the Supreme Court ruling in favor of the Constitution, which immediately put them at odds with the current administration over their tariffs. The administration has stated over the weekend that they will be increasing global tariffs to 15% using... They're going to try some different finagling. These tariffs will go into effect for 150 days. However, the big question over the weekend, Jamie, was we took in all of this money from the tariffs. We've collected, according to the Treasury, $133 billion with these tariffs that have now been shown to be illegal.
Right. Yeah.
Where does that money go? Who's going to get it back? It's supposed to have cost American families upwards of $1,600-$1,700.
Right.
These extra tariffs, because despite conversations to the alternative, tariffs are paid by you and I.
They are.
Because they are paid first by the American business that is importing the goods. Those costs then get passed down to us, and it has been shown that we have all paid more since these tariffs went in. But I don't know. Are we going to get a check in 2 weeks? 2 weeks.
Well, 2 weeks. 2 weeks is usually the standard bearer for this particular administration. But customs had already been collected, as you mentioned, on $133 billion. And I think that's a number that we have to keep in mind because those are tariffs as of December. And obviously, you had another 2 months of growth in there. So we don't actually know what the full number is going to be yet. On Friday, the court did not directly order refunds, but they did say that the government didn't really say that the government can keep the money either. Several states and companies are now seeking repayment in court. Nevada, Illinois, and California have already been the most vocal about saying, are you going to refund each family the $1,700 that they deserve back in these tariffs? Now, Justice Brett Kavanaugh in the dissent warned that sorting out the refunds could be messy, especially since many businesses have already passed those costs on to the consumers. Because, again, you actually pay for those costs. These are the important facts to remember, right?
Brett Kavanaugh doesn't want to make Daddy mad. So
well,
he's
no,
not
of course
not.
Come
out and, because Daddy was very proud of Justice Kavanaugh.
Yes,
as
he
we
called
played
him
in
out.
The first clip. Yes, very, very nice. I know, you know, and I know one of the, following the story, there's a local toy company who was instrumental in this Supreme Court case, a Northwest suburban Chicago toy company, small importer, and they make educational toys. Well, now they're going to be on this too, along with the state, trying to get money back, as every business should be. We talked to Rico Torres from the Journal Sentinel the other day about how much in tariffs Harley Davidson had to pay. You don't think Harley Davidson wants to get that money back? You don't think anybody in any industry, you don't think some of these farmers want some money back from the things they had to get? Everybody deserves this. But somehow I have a, and this is conjecture. This is, while we say we lead with facts, sometimes there is conjecture because it puts thoughts in your head as well as coming out of our heads. I think he probably believes he could keep that money.
Oh, I think so. Just, of course. You know,
I collected it. I put the tariffs in. I get to keep it. Just like the $10 billion I'm going to use for my board of peace.
Exactly.
Or 10 billion. Did I say million? Million.
Million, billion.
That's chump change. Billion is what we're talking about.
Mark over on the text line chiming in this morning saying, my guess is that any refunds will not be coming to we the people, but to them, the corporations. Small businesses need not apply. And I think that's exactly right. I mean, let's be clear. This administration is banking on many different money avenues right now. And tariffs were just very much a part of that. Now, what I think is going to be interesting, because this battle is not over, right? Because this new tariff that he put into place over this weekend, let's be clear, they only have 150 days before Congress has to be involved in whether or not these are legal, whether these are just.
Right.
So this is just a battle that's starting now. And Congress hasn't even been in session for 2 weeks now.
This is more petulant toddler behavior.
Yes.
Okay, you ruled against me. Well, my minions have come up with another way, and at least I get 150 days. And I'm not going to. He said Mm-hmm. Donald Trump said, I'm not going to Congress.
No.
This is a president who is now, I believe, out of control and believes he doesn't have to go through the other branches of government, thinks he can unilaterally decide things. And now that the Supreme Court has done their job,
mm-hmm.
he's starting to realize, oh, there is a point, and the law hopefully will continue to rule rather than one man.
The checks and balances are still there according to the Constitution, and we still have people, minus the Congress, who are willing to uphold those checks and balances.
Mm-hmm.
The courts, you know, here's the thing. I understand that this administration ends up in court a lot. I understand they push the boundaries. I understand that we don't always like the outcome. But the courts are actually adhering, a majority of them, let's be realistic. We've also seen instances where it has been handpicked, right? But
correct.
The courts, for the majority, are holding up. They now need Congress to do their part to also make sure that these pillars of what we know as our government, our Constitution, are in existence. And this is where this particular administration is going to have problems, because when leaders are openly framing things like global trade as something to be walled off, that's not just minor policy tweaking. That's a philosophical pivot. And we need people to uphold the Constitution, not just the courts. They're going to need help to do that.
It bolstered my confidence in
of
the
course.
Court, this decision this week, when I saw his handpicked justices picking the law and mm-hmm. the Constitution over him.
Yes.
When we come back, speaking of laws and Constitution, the Wisconsin Assembly skedaddled for their 9-month vacation, but they got some things done.
They did.
And then they left some things unfinished. We'll talk about all of that after this on, what is it, Jamie?
It is Daybreak, 629 on the Civic Media Network. It's 6:35 right now. You are listening to the Civic Media Network. This is Daybreak with Brian and Jamie. If you're listening in Eau Claire on 93.5 The Tap, or in La Crosse on WLCX, up in Hayward on WBZH, we are so glad that you are here. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Good to have you here. If you want to get involved in the program, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We spent the last half hour talking about tariffs and what the Supreme Court did, and now we must turn our attention up the street to the Wisconsin State Capitol, where, as you know, Friday was the last day, Jamie. They had worked,
mm-hmm.
oh man, tirelessly for about, what, a month, month and a half?
Maybe about a month, month and a half, yeah.
And now the legislators are tired, and the outgoing Robin Voss gaveled them out for their legislative session. Maybe they come back for a special session in the spring if the governor gets his way. Maybe they don't. We don't know. But we do know that they did get some things done.
Mm-hmm.
They're still debating some other things.
Mm-hmm.
Some things important were kind of left on the table. You know, they made a little progress in this session.
They did. And I think if you're a Wisconsin voter, you'd like to see the assembly not gavel out and continue some of that important work for the 2025-26 session. And the final days were very dramatic. Now, on Friday, we talked about a couple of those big healthcare bills that had been stalled for months that Robin Voss finally allowed to come to a vote. The first extends Medicaid coverage for new mothers from 60 days to a full 12 months after childbirth. Wisconsin was one of only two states not offering this year-long extension. The other was Arkansas, by the way. The second measure, known as Gail's Law, what was that?
I'm sorry, you make me laugh every time you say Arkansas, just because you are judged by the company you keep.
Yes.
And no shade on Arkansas. I've been
no.
to Arkansas. It's a beautiful,
it's a beautiful
country.
State. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful country. I don't know if I want to be lumped in with their
right with their policies and their laws. Yeah.
Yes.
The second measure, known as Gail's Law, requires insurance companies to cover supplemental breast cancer screening, such as MRIs and ultrasounds, for women with dense breast tissue without paying any out-of-pocket costs. Now, several major bills have already been signed into law this legislative session. One new law requires all Wisconsin school districts to adopt policies banning cell phone use during instructional time. Now, you were a former teacher. How
yes,
do you
ma'am.
Feel about that particular law?
I'm
mm-hmm.
sorry.
No, you're good. You're
around.
Good.
Yes. No, I'm 100% behind that. Here's the deal. I think there are ways, and I remember talking about this when the bill was proposed. Cell phones are a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
If I am a parent of a kid in this day and age, I do want my child to have some access to me. The problem is, if you have a grade school kid or a teenager, you know they're not really using it to call mom and dad. They're
right.
playing Fortnite. They're doing whatever it is. They're texting their friends. So there has to be some sort of way to do it. Even if it's the teacher has a basket on the desk, and the phones go in the basket, and then the phones are returned, you know, mm-hmm. when you line up to go to lunch, you grab your phone, and when you come back, you drop it off. And then, but then you also have to have that strict policy for infractions.
Right.
There has to be some accountability. But yes, you have to, instruction time is instruction time, and we would occasionally have, we had the rule the phones had to stay in the lockers, which is partway there, but it doesn't address the, God forbid, there's a need for kids to be sheltered in place and
right.
they have to get a hold of their parents. So it was off to a good start. We would have a couple kids try to sneak it in, and then, you know, it was, all right, you know, you have to take,
of course,
you have to take that back. And that's always going to happen. But they knew the expectations.
Yeah.
They knew they didn't usually argue because they knew, you know,
mm-hmm.
that was the way it goes. So yeah, I'm for not having phones. A long-winded answer to your question after I had a little mental breakdown. But yes, it's
a Monday. It's good.
It is Monday.
So in this particular law that the legislature did pass in Wisconsin, schools have to have their policies in place by this year. Now, lawmakers also approved the creation of a statewide nuclear power summit and a formal study to examine potential sites for future nuclear or fusion energy projects in Wisconsin. The governor talked about this in his State of the State. Mm-hmm. They've actually teamed with University of Wisconsin-Madison for some of those projects. Another new law from this session gives candidates a clear path to withdraw their names from the election ballots under certain circumstances, something that previously was not very well defined in Wisconsin state law. They also passed Braden's Law. This makes sextortion a felony in Wisconsin. The law criminalizes threatening someone to obtain sexual images or force sexual conduct, and it was also named after a Wisconsin teenager who died by suicide after being targeted. And then finally, there's a new patient protection law that now requires written consent before medical professionals can perform a pelvic exam on a patient who is unconscious or under anesthesia. So they got some things done because those measures are now officially part of Wisconsin law. So as much as we joke about this 9-month vacation, there were some things that happened.
But think of what could have happened if they only took a 6-month vacation.
Right. Because despite that progress, there are still some major unresolved issues in the state. Right now, Wisconsin is sitting on that projected $2.4 billion budget surplus, billion with a B. Republicans want to use a large portion of it for tax rebates, $500 for individuals, $1,000 for married couples, along with the property tax relief through school levy credits. Now, Governor Evers says he wants more direct funding for public schools, particularly general equalization aid, arguing districts are turning to local referendums to fill gaps. Well, we'll never know what the answer is because they gaveled out. The future of the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Conservation Program is also uncertain without legislative action. The long-running land preservation program will expire this summer. This has been a long, ongoing conversation. The Republicans mm-hmm. have wanted very little movement on this. And I shouldn't say all. There has been a little bit of a bipartisan effort, but probably not enough to get this moving since it has officially stalled. Now, some other items still in play include releasing already approved funding for PFAS cleanup, a proposal to legalize online sports betting through tribal partnerships, and long-term funding for Wisconsin Eye, which, of course, is that nonprofit network that broadcasts state government proceedings. The Assembly has likely finished their regular work for this session. That is the important part to keep in mind. The Senate will continue meeting into March. A special session on those tax cuts or other issues does remain possible. From what I am understanding, I would not hold my breath to see that. I would not see Robin Voss bringing back the Assembly to get any of this work done. And there are some major bills that are still heading to the governor's list. The Medicare, the expansion of Medicare for postpartum mothers, and Gail's law should be arriving on his desk this week.
And he's going to sign those,
of course.
No doubt. So those are big wins,
yes.
Not only for Democrats, but for all the women of Wisconsin.
Yes.
So ladies, congratulations. Good for you. Does it bother anybody else that the business of the state is run like a television show with a cliffhanger at the end where we don't know now what's going to happen? We've got some things in place. Will there be online gambling? What will happen with the budget surplus? Tune in next season for episode one. But don't miss episode two because that's the last one. We only do two episodes and then we go home.
Well, yes. And let's be honest. If you're a Wisconsin voter, you should be very disappointed in your representation right now because there is a lot that they could still be doing before they call it quits. And Robin Voss
defense,
is just
though,
not.
We talked to Representative DeSanto on Friday, and she, along with a lot of other legislators, are saying, no, we don't want to go.
Right.
We want to stay and get the work done.
Right.
So it's not everybody. I don't want to point fingers, but you can use you're intelligent. You can figure
I'll
out
point
who
fingers.
Wants to go home.
I'll you point fingers. It's the Republicans. They're done. They're checked out. They're blaming it all on being an election year. And that shouldn't sit well with any of us because they were elected to do a job for a full term. Campaign season isn't some surprise that just pops up on a calendar for
Jamie,
them, right?
Is the length of the term written down anywhere? Yes, it is. And they're fulfilling. I know they're fulfilling their letter of the law.
I guess.
And it's infuriating.
It is.
When you say, wait, it's nobody else. I'm sure everybody listening this morning, us included, would say, oh, 9-month paid vacation.
Awesome.
I'm in.
Right.
Yeah. I will bust my hump from New Year's Day to the end of February and then see after Christmas.
I mean, if there's major issues that are still unresolved, and there are, as we just talked about, tax policy. I mean, we'd all love to see something happen with our property taxes, right? Conservation funding, school support, transparency, the PFAS cleanup. Walking away this early should raise some serious questions. And I don't care how you vote, whether you're a Democrat, whether you're a Republican, whether you're an independent, you should expect the people that you sent to Madison to work until the job is actually done, because that's what you elected them to do. And to be clear, once again, the Democrats are not in control. If they were, they would still be at the Capitol working on all of these issues that affect each and every one of us in our daily lives. And
do you know
that
how
is not
furious
happening.
Parker is that they didn't get to this online gambling thing?
Parker?
Because he's a degenerate.
My friends
he wants
are.
To bet on every Brewers game. He wants to bet on every Badgers football game in the upcoming season.
I
he wants
personally
to bet like nobody's watching.
Personally, no. My generation, yes.
Yeah, that checks.
Yeah, your generation loves to gamble.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, it's free money.
Go back to
it's
drinking like old other generations.
We can do that too. Money. We can multitask.
I have a 22-year-old. He places his fair share of online bets. He also wins his fair share of online bets, and he has an account that he won't let me have access to because
That's
he
smart.
Doesn't want me to see how much is in said account. So he's obviously been more successful. He's the frugal of my two young men in the house. But I don't understand the online betting thing. When it comes to like Kentucky Derby, let's be honest, I just pick the horse with the best name. I don't really care.
I mean, that's a good strategy. That's a very good way to go about it.
That's usually the only reason I used to bet on the Kentucky Derby is before the Derby, we would have an expert on to talk to, and they would give it. And you know how many times I won with my expert's pick? Goose egg.
They're horses.
Nada.
They're still going to do whatever they want at the
horses
end of the day.
Horses do what horses do.
That's right. That's right.
I've never been a big gambler. I don't. Even when I would go to Vegas,
right,
back in the day, back when Vegas was affordable and not just for millionaires, back when you could get like a room for $60 during
and
the week.
And go eat the buffet for like $5 somewhere.
And then find low limit tables.
Yes.
You know, $5 blackjack, I'm all in. But I would, you know, I had like a $200 budget, which is not even a hand anymore.
No, not in Vegas.
I guess if you have the money to lose, it's okay.
The whole theory of Vegas is completely lost on me. It really, truly is. Other than a few shows, I just don't understand the appeal of Las Vegas. And I know that is contrary to a lot of people because I know that there are people who love Vegas. I am not one of those people. I like to go out into the desert and do the tours and a little hiking when I'm in Vegas.
Sure.
And that's...
Look for dead bodies.
That's my... Well, yes, that happens as well, I'm sure, but I have never encountered that. I'll be clear.
Well, that's a shame. I watched a really interesting thing yesterday about how Vegas is a good microcosm and reflector of the overall economy. And now regular people, the tourism numbers are down because Vegas has priced themselves out. Because unlike when the mob was there and it was like, get people in and keep them at the tables no matter how cheap the rooms are and the food and everything is, Vegas now is catering toward the ultra rich.
Mm.
And so normal people aren't going, but Vegas is still making a profit because like there's a lot of ultra rich people in the world, I guess.
There are a lot of ultra rich people. And
can I meet some of them?
They apparently hang out with the president a lot too. So, you know, hey.
They're getting their tariff refunds. All right. Well, that's good to know.
It's 6:48 right now. You are listening to Daybreak. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. YouTube is going into a museum. What? We'll talk about it after this on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
6:52 right now. You are listening to Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson on the Civic Media Network. I am Jamie Martinson.
And I'm the aforementioned Brian Noonan. If you want to get involved in the program, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'll be honest. I am not a huge, this is going to put me in the minority and show my age. I'm not a big YouTube enthusiast.
Sure.
Even though my podcast is on YouTube, Crafty Brewers, Tales Behind Craft Beer, a little shameless plug. I don't care. Don't at me. You don't have to. And we're on YouTube. We're on YouTube right now.
We are.
People are watching us on YouTube. And I have no beef with YouTube. I just was late to the party.
Sure.
But people remember, more than 20 years ago, when YouTube burst onto the scene, and it was just you'd go there for, I don't know, I don't even remember what they put on there. But now, they're deeming YouTube museum-worthy, Jamie, at least at the Victoria and Albert Museum in London. They have an exhibit highlighting the birth of YouTube. It's just a man flipping a switch.
I love this. I find this very fascinating because it tells you where we've evolved at as a society, that YouTube, being just over 20 years old, already has its own exhibition, right? So the museum has created one of the earliest YouTube web pages, along with the very first video ever uploaded to the platform. The video is called Me at the Zoo. It was posted on April 23rd, 2005 by the YouTube co-founder. The clip is only 19 seconds long, and it shows the co-founder, his last name is Kareem, standing in front of elephants at the San Diego Zoo, casually talking about how really, really, really long their trunks are.
Not a euphemism.
It is not a euphemism, and it also tells you exactly where the plight of society was going, that this is what intrigued us more than 20 years ago. Since it was,
it's amazing, isn't it?
You it is.
2006, and we were like, there's a guy at the zoo in front of elephants.
Look,
we
at
don't
he's
know
videotaping
guy.
It, and he's talking about it.
And he's just putting it up, and he's not important.
No,
he's
just a dude. So this video has been viewed more than 380 million times in the course of its 21 years. The museum's digital team spent about 18 months rebuilding what the YouTube watch page looked like in its very early days, specifically from late 2006, working on YouTube's design team, working with YouTube's design team, I should say, to make it as accurate as they possibly could. This exhibit is now on display in the museum's Design 1900 Now gallery, and it gives any visitor a snapshot of the early internet era. And a lot of people remember that as the start of Web 2.0. Now, people at the museum say that the goal isn't just to show this old video of some guy standing in front of elephants with really, really long trunks, but to highlight the moment a global cultural phenomenon began, one that continues to shape entertainment, art, and everyday life around the world. I mean, there are YouTube 100%. Only now broadcasts, right? Like,
oh, sure. And there's, you know, now YouTube TV with all the streaming services, and comics and musicians put their specials directly to YouTube. You don't have to go through the old channels of distribution and hoping a network will buy your show. You can just, if you have a fan base, you can go to YouTube. And with the monetizing and all of that, you can do very well on YouTube. And it is a cultural phenomenon. To
it
think,
is.
20 years is not a long time for it to go from that. Because think of all the other video-based social media platforms that have come and gone in that time.
Think of MySpace.
Vine,
MySpace,
MySpace, Periscope.
Yes.
You know, TikTok changed the game with short form stuff. Mm-hmm. Whereas now YouTube, but even now, and I know I have limited knowledge of this, but even now you need shorts on YouTube.
Of course.
YouTube wants shorts that are doing very well. And it's all, so it has grown. And the Victoria and Albert Museum is gorgeous. If you ever get a chance to go to London, see a museum. Not all of them. There's too many. Well, but you can go to some.
What I think is fascinating is you can really find anything you want on YouTube. We all become a superstar in fixing our dishwashers, fixing our sinks, our cars, because there's always a tutorial. And in our personal life, not only do my husband and I do this radio gig, but we also own a storm chasing company. And we've been going for basically as long as YouTube, 20 years now, in fact.
Nice.
And a majority of our chases are now broadcast, not only on the platform we built from scratch, but also over on YouTube. And it's a major part of how our chasers make money to continue their ventures of going out and pursuing dangerous weather situations. And then, of course, informing the public about what's happening, you know, because now they can interact with people over on YouTube. They can people can donate to the chase. They can do all of that, you know, and then it's where media companies also find our chasers video then to put into those documentaries and things like that. So we've learned to utilize YouTube to our advantage in a business model because of all of its capabilities as well. And plus, there's really great puppy and kitty videos sometimes when you just need to, like, you know, not
it
think
is
about
anything. you made a good point, because now you always feel like, well, I can, if it's a minor task, I can learn it from YouTube. I have How to Tie a Bow Tie bookmark. That's where I learned to tie a bow tie.
Sure.
Is on YouTube. How I've done a million. You're laughing, Parker. Mm-hmm.
No, because I've done it too.
We all do it. We've, you know, I'm always looking stuff up on YouTube.
Yeah.
And it's become that tool that we all have that you don't think about the origins. And so that's why your point is correct, Jamie. This is a great exhibit because it does show how far we've come in just a short amount of time.
Do you think, here's the question that I would have for the founders of YouTube. When you put up that very first video standing in front of the elephants with really, really long trunks, did you ever think that YouTube would be what it is? Or did you just think that it was going to be a place for silly, goofy videos to humor people? Like, that would be my question for them.
They probably thought Chocolate Rain was going to be the pinnacle of their success. Parker, have you ever seen Chocolate Rain?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
How do you see? That's the other thing with YouTube. It makes stars, and they last for about a minute and a half, and then.
Justin Bieber
was everywhere.
Justin Bieber was a YouTube star way back
true.
In the day.
So he has lasted. But the Chocolate Rain guy, we don't even know his name.
I have no idea. 6:59 right now. You are listening to Daybreak with Brian Newton and Jamie Martinson on the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.